Before we get started, if anyone has a cell phone on, we would please appreciate it if you turned it off or put it on vibrate. The back doors to remain open and free and clear. Nobody's standing in the doorway, either inside the room or outside the room. And if you could please take any conversations outside, because it's very hard for us to hear up here with people talking.
Audio and tape and all that stuff.
Right. Meetings being audio taped and videotaped. There are appearance slips for council. If you would like, please fill them out so we know where to send decisions. License Commission hearing agenda for Wednesday, September 11th, 2019. It's 3:08 p.m. We're in the Michael J. Lombardi building, 831 Mass Ave, basement conference room. Before you are the commissioners, Chair Nicole Moratti Ferrer, Gerard Mahoney, and Branville Bard. First matter, Stoke Pizza Cambridge LLC for a new common victualler, all alcohol beverages license.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members of the Commission. My name is Adam Barnowski, 255 State Street, Boston. I'm the attorney for Stoke Pizza. With me is Torm Miller, the LLC manager and proposed manager of record, and Doug McGregor, the co-owner. Stoke Pizza will be located at 1611 Massachusetts Avenue between Everett and Mellon Street. It's just north of Harvard Square, adjacent to the Harvard Law School campus. The new restaurant will be new construction on the first floor of a mixed-use four-story building. It's owned by Harvard College. The building as a whole was subject to large-scale zoning review and went through the permitting process with the city in 2016-17.
I have a question in terms of the space. Where exactly is the kitchen and the exhaust and everything for the wood burning?
So there actually is no wood burning stove in this facility.
So you're not going to have a wood burning oven?
No, we're electric ovens.
This will be different from your Brookline operation then, or did you change the oven in Brookline as well?
The Brookline will remain wood fired. This is a different, simply just a different technology that we're using.
Okay.
So the restaurant will consist of 88 seats inside, 32 seats on the outside on private property. Upon entering the restaurant, there will be a vestibule off of Mass Avenue. When you turn into it, to the left and the right will be a main dining area. It will be a mixture of tables and banquettes. Straight ahead, there will be a bar with seating for 14. In the rear, you have three bathrooms, kitchen, and storage area. As the chair mentioned, this is Stoke Pizza's second location, brick-and-mortar location. They've been operating in Brookline and Washington Square for about 3 years. They do have a full alcohol license there. They've had no issues with the town or the ABCC. In addition to that, they have a very popular food truck operation and a catering operation that runs throughout the state. They have pulled one-day alcohol licenses and have performed catering here in Cambridge over the past several years. While the menu is primarily pizza, they do have a diverse beverage selection, diverse food selection. As I mentioned, Torm Miller is the proposed manager of record. He has over 20 years of hospitality experience in the industry. He most recently launched and has managed the company's catering operation, but will focus, once this location opens up, he will be on premise 40 hours a week. He's going to focus on construction, hiring, training, and the initial operation. He is 21 proof certified. He'll be on site about 40 plus hours a week, as I mentioned. This is an application for a new license, so I'd like to briefly discuss the elements of public need. As the commission may be aware, this reactivation of this site has been a long time coming. We feel like it's an ideal location and operation for the site, and it will enhance the vibrancy of this portion of Massachusetts Avenue. While Harvard Square and Porter Square both have an array of alcoholic beverage licenses and food options, there really is a dearth on this stretch of Mass Ave. As you're in Harvard Square and you go past the old burial ground and up past Cambridge Common into the law school, you don't have really any restaurants, full service, fast casual, bars or otherwise. But what you do have is a mix of recreational areas, multifamily, real estate, offices, retail, and university buildings that could be benefited from this amenity. And overall, the feedback from the community has been overwhelmingly positive. Stoke met yesterday with the Agassiz Neighborhood Council, who was very supportive of the application. They are going to be members of the Harvard Square Business Association. We did have, as part of this application, we had to send out dozens of letters to certified abutters. I do have the abutters green cards as well. We haven't received any comments whatsoever, but certainly no negative ones at that. With that, happy to answer any questions the commission might have.
The seasonal outdoor patio, it's going to be on the front of the building?
Correct.
And is it going to be against the brick and mortar, or is it going to go to the curb?
It'll be against the brick and mortar, yes.
You're going to occupy the entire first floor of that building?
There is an entryway.
Well, with the exception of stairwells and mechanicals for the building, it's a four-story building.
You'll be the only tenant on the first floor.
That's correct.
And the upstairs is offices and no residence.
Harvard Law School offices,
yes.
And Mr. Miller, you are the manager in Brookline, is that a thing?
I am the manager of Brookline.
And I know that there's no disciplinary issues with the local board or ABCC.
Correct.
And I do note for the record that you already provided us your TIP certification. So are you up to date with the rules, laws, and regulations of this board, the ABCC, and the laws of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts with regard to the sale and service of alcohol?
Absolutely.
And do you understand that we expect you to stay up to date with those rules, laws, and regulations?
Absolutely.
Yes, thank you. Do you guys have any questions?
I don't.
I will note for the record, we received an email from Mr. Hugh O'Reilly in support of this application. Anyone else in support of this application? If you could please come up and state your names. It's better if you come up because otherwise we won't really get it on tape. Thank you.
Eric Quadrito. I spend a lot of time in Brookline. My family's there a lot and we happen to really like this business.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Denise Stilson, Executive Director, Harvard Square Business Association, and here to lend our overwhelming support. We're really excited about Stoked Pizza. They've become members of the association, looking forward to having their truck at Oktoberfest and Mayfair and other events in the square, and just excited to partner with them, and hope that you vote affirmatively. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else?
I'm Peter Bowden, representing a Friedman family, which is one of your closest neighbors, 50 feet away. Since 1982, our family has greatly suffered since Three Aces closed years ago. And so we are very much looking forward to having your establishment there. But we also have some very serious noise concerns that, I don't know if you want me to speak to those.
Sure.
So when Harvard built the new facility on the corner, the main law school, they get rid of one side of parking on our street, widening it, and really created an area that's a public, almost like attractive nuisance for skateboarders and people hanging out in the corner. So Cambridge police will note that I have them on speed dial and I'm in touch with them constantly because any noise on the corner is amplified by the law school building and blast right at the units right next up here. You know, like any noise on the corner is like you're in our front yard.
That I can visualize where your unit is, if I'm looking at the building right in front of the one next to it.
So,
no,
turn to the right, we are actually directly behind it.
Okay, I saw those.
But the noise,
you're on Everett Street.
Right, and also the way the barbershop is structured, while you have your seating area set up to be on your property, kind of set back from the main sidewalk under an overhang, the barbershop sticks out and also creates more echo. And so, my question is, I'm going to be one of your top customers. But as much as I love pizza and beer, I love sleep. And it's become, in the last 2 years, a fight, Wednesday through Saturday, to manage noise on that corner. And so my concern is, what do you do to manage? And I know that people who are drinking are louder. And so is there, what are the considerations? Proactive policing from your staff? Are there sound barriers that can be placed at the edge? There's a real concern. It's so bad already that we've discussed whether or not we need to move away. And so that's just, again, in support, but it's the after 9 o'clock till how late are you open?
11.
11.
Is the proposed hour.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Anyone else? Anyone in opposition to this petition? Okay, Councillor, you want to?
Address the issue of noise?
Yes.
Yeah, so just to clarify, is the abutters is behind the building? Is that correct?
On Everett Street.
On Everett Street. So, I mean, I know the operation is really pushed towards the front of the building, so the rear and the side are, for the most part, either egress in and out of the second, third, and fourth floors. So closer to Everett Street, you have the main vestibule that you're going to walk into that carries the elevator up to the second, third, and fourth floor. So the main entrance to this establishment is more in the center of the building away from Everett Street. The commission will note that we have not applied for an entertainment license because we're just seeking background entertainment. So there's going to be no live entertainment that will permeate the walls. I don't believe that there are drop-down windows. I think it's all going to be closed off, so everything will be encompassed. I would anticipate that, you know, number one, the outdoor patio use is seasonal. It presumably is going to be in conjunction with dining and not predominantly drinking. Certainly if the applicant has anything additional to add to it.
I think we speak to our clientele and business model, so we are not a slice joint. We don't sell slices. We're a sit-down, full-service restaurant at all times. So we're not, you know, we have 14 stools out of our ratio of seating. So this is if you think about what this isn't a late-night slice joint by any stretch. You're sitting down with waitress, service, and that's the clientele we attract.
Okay. Thank you. Anything else? Anyone else? Okay. With that said, I would vote to grant the application.
Granted.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And you plan to open?
Still a concrete shell right now, so with your blessing, we can now move forward with full speed. So we love the spring would be our goal. Yeah.
Spring?
Yep.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, awesome. Thank you. Remember that?
Application Rich Graham's LLC, doing business as Richards, 1193 Cambridge Street, for a Newcomb Victualler Wine Malt and Cordials Liqueurs license.
Yes.
Good afternoon.
Could
you please state your names and spell your last names for the record?
Richard Graham III.
Sarah Graham. C-R-A-H-A-M. Thank you. Graham, if you could speak up a little bit when you do speak. Thank you.
Yes.
And can you tell us a little bit about Richard?
Richard is going to be a full-service restaurant with a 46-seat occupancy on the corners of Tremont and Cambridge Street. It was a restaurant for 32 years prior to us taking over, a pop-up prior, 6 months prior to us getting the spot. It's going to be a new American-style cuisine, a 6-seat bar.
You said a 6-seat bar?
Yes,
6-seat bar. Yes, a very small bar.
Mm-hmm. The restaurant, we're planning currently on starting with no more than 34 seats in the main body of the restaurant and then the bar. We would be open from no earlier than 5 and no later than 10:30. The concept is food first, so the bar is kind of secondary, but we feel to the full service.
And when you say new American style cuisine, what kind of cuisine are
you? So instead of hitting a niche like, you know, sushi or Indian food or new American style, it just means that anything that came into America we can cook.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking to bring in fish whole, bring in quarters of animals, break things down, and everything will be made in-house, from ketchup to mayonnaise to fumets, all the sauces, everything will be made in-house.
Who's the cook?
And the guy in the back.
All right. And you will be closed as of right now, Monday and Sunday, is that correct?
Yes.
Correct.
And then I noted that you were also seeking for live audio visual entertainment, but I wasn't quite sure because you said no to everything else in terms
of
entertainment.
No, we weren't. I think it was a misclick on the application itself, because we wouldn't be doing any live entertainment.
So just background music?
Yeah, just background music, no longer than what we're speaking at right now.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I know we had the idea of eventually doing like a movie night or something, but that's... Down the line.
If and when you go down that line, you're going to have to talk to zoning, because there are some zoning restrictions in terms of entertainment in that area.
Heard.
Okay. And then, Mr. Graham, you would also be the manager of record?
Yes.
And are you TIPS or 21 Proof certified?
Yes.
Did you upload that by any chance to the application?
No.
Okay.
No.
So we'll need a copy of that when you have it. If you have it, we'll take it now too.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. And then are you up to date with the rules and regulations of this board, the ABCC, and the laws of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts with regard to the sale and service of alcohol?
Yes.
And do you understand that we expect you to stay up to date with those rules, laws, and regulations?
Absolutely.
Yes. Thank you.
Anything else? Did we get an updated floor plan on this?
Timeline for occupancy?
The 27th. Oh, the 24th.
We're hoping to open by the end of this month, if everything goes quickly. If not, next month.
Okay. There are letters of support.
Yep. All right. Anything else? Okay. I do want to note for the record that we received a letter in support from, or correspondence in support from Maureen O'Neill, Ben Bryan, and Councillor Toomey. Anyone else in support of this application?
In support?
Yep. If you can please come up and state your name. And
He's in support too.
Jean Graham, Richard's mom. And this is Russell, Richard Russell Graham the fourth.
He better be in support.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. And Ilger Chakri.
I'm sorry?
Ilger Chakri.
How do I spell your name?
ILGER CAKUL.
CAKULI. Thank you.
Which is yourself.
Thank you. Anyone else? Anyone in opposition to this petition? Yes, sir, if you can please come up.
Hey, my name is Dequan. I own the other
if
half
you,
of the...
Hold on a second. Your name again, please.
Dequan? D-E-Q-U-A-N. My last name is...
D-E-Q-U-A-N.
U-A-N.
And your last name?
Wu. W-U.
Okay.
I own the other half of the building, exactly the same, layout, the same setting. Yeah. I have concern about the alcohol license because of the noise. Because the upstairs is residential, it's a rental property. I have tenants upstairs. So I don't know, after you get the alcohol license and you have alcohol bars and you open until 10 o'clock in the evening, so what's that going to affect my tenants in the building?
Anything else?
That's about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else in opposition to this petition?
Question. Are the tenants notified as part of the abutters notification or just property owners?
If it's a condo, they would be notified as an owner, otherwise.
Yes, you
property.
Are.
The upstairs neighbor is the owner's son, and I've spoken to him.
He's talking about the next property over.
But this is just much closer to the restaurant with the speaker layout and everything. And he's had no complaints about the noise at all. And I guarantee everything within the restaurant will be pleased as well outside. And there has been some requirement from the club with some kids, and I've personally taken care of it to make sure that they're not around.
Thank you. And we had this location license before,
what
correct?
Was Tupelo.
Chief Boyer, are you...
Years, right?
What's the location?
Tupelo.
Oh,
do you recall any noise complaints with regard to Tupelo's operation?
They have sometimes have issues with their vent, but that would be a case-by-case basis.
Yeah,
vent.
Yeah.
Your vent.
Sorry. The vent is one noise source. The other one is I didn't complain. Yeah. I own this building since 2016. Okay. Before that, I do not know. Sometimes we have people sitting on our like a staircase. It's next or right next door. So I don't know who are they. They may be street people. Or they may be. I don't know.
Okay. Thank you.
I know we've worried about the noise of the people, but it's a restaurant. It's not going to be a bar for people to hang around in. You know, to sit around and drink and everything. I guess it's like a food restaurant for families to come in, eat, and leave.
Thank you. Okay. Question?
So the space adjacent, this gentleman says he owns the other half of the building. What is on the ground level of that building?
A smoke shop.
Smoke shop.
Yeah, Cambridge smoke shop.
And how many are there residential units above your space?
It's two units above us, yes.
Two units above. Okay. But you don't own the building?
No, I don't. Rent.
Anything else? With that said, I think considering the type of operation, the hours of operation, the fact that they're only seeking background music, and the history of this location, I would vote to grant the application. I think any noise issues related to the operation could be addressed through our noise ordinance, but I don't foresee that being an issue, but if it is, obviously we have the mechanism to address it at that point, but I would vote to grant this application.
I would concur.
Granted. Thank you.
Thank you.
Application, Susie Q LLC, doing business as Mextito, 350 Kendall Street, for a new common victualler, wine, malt, and Porches liqueurs license.
They didn't give you the
I know, I was
butters.
Just thinking that.
Good afternoon. Could you please state your names and spell your last names for the record?
My name is David Zimmel, Z-I-M-E-L.
Eric Quadrino, Q-U-A-D-R-I-N-O.
Thank you. Well, why don't you start, because I have some questions on this particular application.
The location is currently owned by Eric and myself. It is a commissary location through the window. We've been there approximately a little over 4 years, I think. We have limited hours right now. We'd like to expand the hours using the beer and wine license.
So I think my question is, are you planning to change at all the way the location is? Because, I mean, I went to see this location, and I'm very hard-pressed to understand how you're going to control this being sort of like just a takeout window, how you're going to control people not buying the alcohol and taking it and somewhere outside of your footprint. The way right now this location is set, only half of the patio, the proposed patio, would actually be visible. If there's an issue outside, the employee has to go around to come into the space. So I'm just a little concerned as to how exactly all of these things are going to be addressed.
That's a very fair question, and one that came up in discussions with the landlord. So we're going to have a full-time employee staff for the patio, so there won't be any blind spots. There'll also be a continuous barrier of planters. So again, there would be no way for someone to kind of get out of that patio. It's also a smaller patio. I think we had some communications on that, that it did go down from 24 to 19 seats. So there will be tremendous visibility. There'll be tremendous owner presence at the location, as there has been for the last 4+ years. Owners who are TIPS certified, highly vigilant, own other alcohol licenses with zero instances. So I think we tried to address that. That might not have been reflected in the plans, just, you know, played on a paper. But again, that continuous barrier with a full-time staffed employee when the patio is out and the strong owner presence, I think, will prevent anything like that.
So the full-time staff employee, is it an employee that's going to be staffing and physically outside?
Yeah, so when we launch the patio seasonally, we will increase the amount of staff for the location, and we'll have one person who's solely dedicated to the cleanliness of that part of the business, the service of alcohol, you know.
And he will be TIP certified.
So if I understand, this person will be stationed outside?
Correct.
In the patio.
Correct.
And then in terms of the alcohol service, how exactly is that going to work? Does the person go up to the, because you have the planters around the patio, but in essence, I could buy a burrito and a beer and then just keep walking.
Right. So so someone can't actually have alcohol from the window to the location. So essentially what we're thinking is that the patron would purchase their food at the window, but the alcohol would have to be delivered to the patio, because there actually is a space between the window and the crowd. And if I understand the law correctly, my interpretation is that they can't actually be outside of that area. So we would deliver the alcohol to them, but they would be able to take their tacos from the window to the
Okay,
kitchen.
Is this the seating area is seasonal only, correct?
Correct, yes.
So there'll be no, what are you going to do in the dead of winter?
We're going to have
seating at that time of year. It's mostly a corporate area. Most people take their lunches back to their office.
There's a large space.
Are they going to be able to take alcohol?
No.
So you're going to stop alcohol service in the winter months?
Yes.
Okay. The alcohol will be tied to the seasonal patio.
Only when the patio was in.
I got it. Okay. Thanks.
Mr. Zimmel, you would be the proposed manager of record?
Yes, I will.
And you are TIPS certified, correct?
Yes.
Did we get that?
I didn't. I will bring it to you.
And are you up to date with the rules and regulations of this board, the ABCCs, and the laws of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts with regard to sale and service of alcohol?
I am.
And do you understand that we expect you to stay up to date with those rules, laws, and regulations?
I am.
And you are expected to stay up to date?
Yes.
Okay. Anyone in favor? I'm sorry, did you guys have any further questions? Anyone in favor of this petition? Anyone in opposition to this petition?
Hi, Kim Courtney. Not really sure where to begin. There's so many problems with this application. I'm just disappointed that this commission doesn't work with applicants better. This commission should be recommending to the applicants the proper license to apply for, which clearly they haven't done. Common vicular license is completely inappropriate for this business model. You know, no seating in the winter, so why is there an alcohol license? There's no kitchen, so there's no cooking on the premises. So this applicant isn't even qualified for a common vicular alcohol license or a common vicular license. There's also no showing of public need. So I just wish that this commission would be more business friendly and do the right thing for businesses and actually work with them to get them to the point where they can apply for something that's appropriate for the business model. As this board well knows, there's a license that's perfectly appropriate for this business model. Thanks.
Anyone else?
Yeah, I'd like to speak on this also. Xavier Dietrich. Has the board received, where's the evidence of public need for this? And why hasn't the board asked for it?
Is that it?
What was that, any answer to my question?
I'm not here to answer your questions. Is that it? Anyone else in opposition to this petition? Do you guys have anything else to add?
Just in terms of public need, I would like to add that while the population density of Kendall Square continues to explode, there actually is no Mexican restaurant that has beer and wine on that side of Kendall Square. So we do feel that there is a need. We have owned restaurants, Mexican restaurants, in the area for over 11 years, including this one. So I do feel that we have a very good perspective in terms of addressing the demand and need.
Thank you. With regard to this application, I'd actually like to defer personally. I know in Cambridge we don't currently have any seasonal licenses. I'm not sure off the top of my head whether we could have a seasonal license. I just want to look into that in terms of this application. That would be the only thing. Other than that, I agree these are applicants that have proven to be very good operators in this city and other cities. In terms of my concerns as to the control of the alcohol, if we were to grant this, I would vote for conditions of an outside person at all times, that the alcohol be delivered, and maybe even put a condition that, you know, the purchase of alcohol has to be sort of one by one type of thing. But that would be stuff that I would look at after the fact. But that's sort of my sense in where I'm at in terms of this application. I'm not sure where you guys are at, so.
I'll defer to the chair.
Okay, so we'll defer and then just put this back on for 9/24. I don't think that we'll need you to come back. It'll just be an administrative vote at that point, but if anything comes up, we'll let you know before that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Did you need the letters?
Yeah, thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you very much for your time and consideration.
Thank you.
President and Fellows of Harvard College, 64 Linnean Street, for a lodging house license.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Could you please state your names and spell your last names for the record?
Sure. I am Alexandra Offiong. That's Offiong.
So nice to put a name.
Yes.
Or face to the name.
My name is Anthony Pacillo. Pacillo.
There.
Yeah.
All right. So, and you are also here for 391 Harvard, correct?
Yes.
And these are pretty straightforward lodging house licenses. The one for 64, that's 10 rooms, 10 occupants, 10 beds?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And what will be will there be a DBA on the house, like the dorm name or anything?
So the way we've called it is Courier House Entry Building, I think is how we named it. So it is part, you can see on the plan, it is one small piece of the larger Courier House, which is an undergraduate dormitory for sophomores, juniors, and seniors.
So this is by Garden Street, correct?
It is. And as you can see, it kind of didn't get its own identity because it really is just an entry building with two stories with one 10-person suite on the second floor. So now we are calling it out specifically.
Okay. All right. Single, double rooms, triple rooms?
There are 10, you can see on the floor plans, there are 10 bedrooms and they all are singles.
Okay. All right, so. So I would.
That's for Linnean.
Huh?
That's for Linnean.
That's for Linnean, yeah. Anyone in favor of this petition? Anyone in opposition to this petition? Okay, I would vote to grant with a DBA of Courier House Entry Building, and in the premise description, that it's for single rooms. And on the second floor, you said?
Yes.
Second floor. Thank you. And then in terms of 391, what will be, what did you call it?
So that is Hurlbut Hall.
How do I spell that?
H-U-R-L-B-U-T. So that's, it's one of the first year dorms. It's one of the few that are actually outside of Harvard Yard. So it's just, so you can see here's all of Harvard Yard, and it's just a few blocks away. There are a few fresh first year dorms down on this block.
That is so between
Prescott and corner of Prescott and Harvard Street.
Okay.
So right.
So it's 45 rooms, 62 occupants. Is it 62 beds as
yes.
well?
Yes.
And these are double, single, combination?
There's a combination, yes. Yeah.
Okay. Any questions? Mm-hmm. Anyone in favor of this petition? Anyone in opposition to this petition? Okay. I would vote to grant with DBA of...
Hurlbut.
Thank you. Hurlbut. The R with the L and the B.
Yeah.
Hurlbut?
Yeah, Hurlbut.
Like the street.
Yeah.
We have a Hurlbut street.
I actually don't know where the name comes from, but it's from 1914, so I don't know.
I bet it's connected with somebody that gave money.
No, it wasn't built by Harvard. It was built in 1914, so Harvard didn't acquire it till the 50s. So I'm not sure of the name.
Granted, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Nice to meet you.
Application 27 Brattle LLC, doing business as Bluestone Lane, for a new common victualer license. Thank you.
Good afternoon.
Hi, how are you?
Could you please state your name and spell your last name for the record?
Sure. Harry Nathan Callion. I'm the general counsel of Bluestone Lane.
Harry Nathan?
Callion, K-A-L-Y-A-N.
K-A-L-Y-A-N. Thank you.
The general counsel of Bluestone Lane.
Can you tell us about Bluestone Lane, please?
Sure. Bluestone Lane is a Australian-style cafe company. We have cafes and coffee shops located throughout the United States. We're based in New York City. We have 24 locations in New York. We have 20 in California, I think 12 in San Francisco, 8 in LA. We have another 6 or 7 in DC. Hoboken, we're opening in Jersey City in about 2 weeks. And we are, and 2 in Philly as well, and we're opening 5 in Boston. So we're starting with Brattle here, and we're opening at 99 High Street, 125 High Street, 700 Atlantic Avenue, and one other, I don't remember off the top of my head. But this is at 27 Brattle Street. So we're, it's sort of a 3.5 wave of Starbucks. So it's sort of the French cafe, except Australian style, for today. So, we put the avocado toast on the map of the United States about 5 years ago. The flat white we brought here, and Starbucks stole it from us. So we are going in at 27 Brattle Street. This location has ground floor and a mezzanine. There was a cafe there previously. There is 2 bathrooms, one ADA, one non-ADA. There's 45 seats, I believe, on the ground floor, 30 seats on the mezzanine. We open at 7 a.m. and close at 10 p.m. We have a full menu. There's no full menu and counter service as well as table service. And this is one of our cafe models. So.
And this had originally been filed for an alcohol license and now just CV. Are you guys planning to do alcohol at some point, or was this just a change in business plan?
Well, yeah, we're not opening with alcohol. We, you know, the business is not, alcohol is less than 3% of our total sales. But it's an amenity just for brunch and things like that. But we are opening without it, so we want to be able to open without it with the Victor license. And then we also have a application for a ABCC license, and we'll have to appear again for that. But that's a separate license.
I guess that's where I'm confused. So are you planning to have alcohol on the premises and serve alcohol on the premises at some point in the future?
At some point in the future, that's our goal, but that's not that's not this application. We'll amend the application when that filing is.
So you'll file an application, because you don't file with the ABCC, you file with the local board, and then
right.
It goes through. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I just wanted to confirm that it was okay.
We want to be a member of the community first before we.
Okay. Perfectly fine.
Corporate offices are located where?
In the Financial District of New York, 90 Water Street.
And then just background music?
It's background music, yep, iPods. I mean, we have, like I said, almost 50 locations across the country, and, you know, we're a member of our, you know, our big thing is making relationships with our locals, and, you know, we're excited to be part of the community here.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions?
Nope.
Anyone in favor of this petition? Anyone in opposition to this petition? Okay. I'd vote to grant.
Grant. Your timeline for opening?
Well, we're trying to get open by the fall, by October, but it's looking like maybe November or so. If we can't open by November, we'll have to push it until February or end of February.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Transfer of the common victualler wine and malt license held by Shanghai Fresh Incorporated, doing business as Shanghai Fresh, to 18 Fresh, doing business as Shanghai Fresh, same location.
Good afternoon.
735 Mass Ave.
Hi. How are you?
Good.
Could you please state your name and spell your last name for the record?
My name is Mimi Wan. Last name is W-A-N-G.
And we heard this on July 31st and actually voted to approve it, but
yes.
There had been an issue with the notification for abutters.
Exactly.
And have you notified abutters at this
time? I have.
Okay. With that said, I would say we incorporate by reference everything we've heard at that point and then just go straight to support or opposition from... Okay. Anyone in favor of this petition? Anyone in opposition to this petition? Okay. With that said, and in light of what we heard on July 31st, I would vote to affirm our vote and grant again.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Application R&D Pub at 32 Vassar Street, holder of common victualler all alcohol educational license, for a change of manager to Mark Hayes. Just call them all because it's all the same.
Yep.
And the Thirsty Ear Pub at 235 Albany Street and Muddy Charles Pub at 142 Memorial Drive.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Could you please state your name and spell your last name for
the
record?
Sure, it's Mark Hayes. Last name is H-A-Y-E-S.
And these are all educational licenses.
Correct.
And Mr. Hayes, I noted that you uploaded your TIP certification. Thank you. So are then, is it fair to say that you are then up to date with the rules and regulations of this board, the ABCC, and the laws of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts with regards to the sale and service of alcohol?
Yes.
And do you understand that we expect you to stay up to date with those rules, laws, and regulations?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Especially on a campus.
With that said, do you gentlemen have any questions?
No.
Okay. I would vote to grant.
Granted.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
No. We don't take public comment on changes of manager. Thank you, Mr. Hayes.
Thank you.
Taya and Son, LLC, doing business as Yummy Thai.
Okay, second call. Let's just note that the first call was at 3:51.
Disciplinary, D. Mazzioli Associates, leaf blower permit 10707 for allegedly operating during a prohibited period. You raise your right hand. Swear the testimony you're about to give be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Thank you.
Good afternoon. Could you please state your names and spell your last names for the record?
Adam Featherston, F-E-T-H-E-R-S-T-O-N.
Okay, I'm sorry, F-E.
T-H-E-R-S-T-O-N.
Thank you.
Andrea Boyer, investigator for the City of Cambridge License Commission.
Go ahead, Chief Boyer.
Thank you. So I'd received, this is an email complaint from Ed Abrams. He is unable to make it today, and he had submitted a statement to be reviewed by the board. It is as follows. I live at 80 Wendell Street at Cambridge, which is about 100 feet from 3638 Carver Street, Cambridge. On July 31st, 2019, at 11:45 a.m., I was parking my car in front of my residence at 80 Wendell Street and noticed the sound of a very loud leaf blower being operated at 3638 Carver Street, Cambridge. I walked up to the property and confirmed that the operator was Dean Muzioli. Usage of leaf blowers at this property at prohibited times by Dean Muzioli, excuse me if I pronounced it incorrectly, has been an ongoing problem for the past several years. I've made complaints about these violations several times over the past few years. Sincerely, Edwin Abrams.
Mr. Featherston, were you there that day?
I was not.
Are you aware that this happened?
I was just made aware with this letter. I wasn't aware of the day of, though.
And I noticed earlier today that you guys had failed to renew your permit as well for leaf blower. It has been submitted, though. Okay. But it needs to be completed.
Okay.
Yeah, Chief Boyer.
There were pictures provided to the board by Mr. Abrams.
You're not denying that it was your guys, correct?
No. Okay.
Do you have anything else to say?
Just that we've obviously contacted the crews and letting them know to... I think what happens is they get into a bit of a routine, and we've told them, obviously, cease and desist with any of the leaf blowers in that area or Cambridge.
Thank you.
Disciplinary history.
So, 2018 violation history is on December 12, 2018. Board found a violation of operating more than one leaf blower less than 10,000 square feet apart and uses of a leaf blower above the allowable DBA level. And there was a total fine of $600 issued.
When was the date of the infraction?
12/12.
So that was that would be the hearing December 12, 2018. So.
But just one in 2018?
Yes.
And they've been operating Cambridge how long?
Well, we've been in business about 40 years. I think we've been
You said 40.
40, okay. Yeah. Right. I think we've been not in Cambridge that long, obviously, maybe 6 to 8. I've only been with the company for about a year, so.
They've had a permit since 2016.
Okay. Any other questions? With that said, I would issue a warning for operating without a permit, and I would issue a $300 fine for operating during a prohibited period.
Okay.
Okay, you'll receive a statement of reasons. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Casa Blanca Services, leaf blow permit 10727, allegedly operating during a prohibited period and during a prohibited time. If you could raise your right hand, please. Swear the testimony you're about to give, please, the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. Thank you.
Good afternoon. Please state your name and spell your last name for the record.
Yes, Yassine Ibrahimi,
Y-A-C-I-N-E.
Last name Ibrahimi, I-B-R-A-H-I-M-I.
Thank you.
Thank you. Andrea Boyer, License Commission Investigator. See Click Fix Complaint. Stating the usage of a leaf blower at 1010 Memorial Drive on Saturday, June 28th from 8:05 to 8:30 a.m. Saturday time is not permitted, along with the June 28th date is also not permitted.
So Saturday is as of 9 a.m., correct?
Correct. I'd like to state that the gentleman to my left did call yesterday, wanted to attend instead of sign the waiver so that he could make a statement.
Okay.
This is our first time making a mistake. It's an honest mistake. This crew, particular crew that happened to work on Saturday, is roughly new crew. You know, in our industry, you have a high turnover. They're not experienced. They were instructed by the property manager to clear something, and unfortunately, they used the blowers. When I investigated the matter further, that crew thought the license ends in June, and it starts end of June, not mid-June. And it starts again at the end of September, so clearly it was a miscommunication there. As far as the timing, also another mistake. Again, new crew, won't happen again. We only operate two properties in Cambridge. One actually is shared between Somerville and Cambridge, and one is fully Cambridge.
In 2018, there were no violations, and or were there any violations previously?
Okay. I think it's a violation. I'm wondering if we do a combination here of a $300 fine for each, but hold one in abeyance through the end of the year.
It's the first violation. I'm comfortable issuing them a warning in both cases.
I would concur with that, actually.
With the warning?
Mm-hmm.
So violation 3-0 and then warning 2-1. Thank you. You'll receive a statement of reasons.
You're at 10-10 to you, those two. Okay. That's new. Okay. Thank you.
Lopez Landscaping for allegedly operating during a prohibited period and a prohibited time. Raise your right hand.
Good afternoon.
Raise your right hand. Swear the testimony you're about to give be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Could you please state your names and spell your last names for the record?
Freddy, F-R-E-D-Y, A Lopez.
Lopez or A Lopez?
No, Lopez.
Okay. Yeah. L-O-P-E-Z?
Yes.
Thank you.
Olsen.
Sorry?
O-L-C-E-N. Rivas.
R-I-V-A-S?
Yep.
Thank you.
Andre Boyer, Investigator, Chambers License Commission. This is a C-Click Fix complaint as well, stating usage of a leaf blower at 243 Lexington Avenue on Saturday, June 22nd at 6:55 a.m., which is during a prohibited time and prohibited date. Also, 243 Lexington on August 15th. 2019 at 2:55 p.m. during a prohibited date. Picture was provided to the board as well.
Chief Boyer, had they received notice before the August 15th of the June 22nd event or no? Do you know?
I sent them an amended.
So they had?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Gentlemen?
Yeah. Which day is Saturday, is it? Which location was Saturday?
That 243 Lexington.
No, that's we are no working Saturday. We are that was in weekday. And the other thing is, you know, we have the license permission over here. And I'm training my guys to not use the different kind of blower, only use the one we have the permit. And the other thing is, you know, that I don't know in whatever who take a picture from the cars, is not coming to see. Hey, hi guys, you know, why you doing with the noise blower, you know? And my guy was working behind the house, and this lady, I don't know who was, but he take a picture for the trucks.
So you see that picture? So they're not required to come talk to you about a blower and things. Well, you. I'm sorry, I'm just trying to clarify what you said. Are you saying that you do not work on Saturdays?
We work on Saturday, but that day is not was a Saturday.
June 22nd? Can someone check on the phone, please?
He was there working with with the property.
So are you saying that picture is not from Saturday?
Definitely not.
I'm having a problem on this.
It was a Saturday.
So June 22nd, per the calendar, was a Saturday.
Is a Saturday, correct.
Okay. And you do work on Saturdays?
We work on Saturday, but we know coming Saturday in Cambridge.
Oh, you don't work? Okay.
In Cambridge.
So you didn't? Okay.
Yeah. And this truck, because I have many different trucks, and this truck, this is the one we not use in Cambridge. This is the one we use for regular maintenance in my trailer.
That's
Yeah, but that, like,
it doesn't. Are you stating that it does not hold equipment? That it is for a different.
We definitely we have. I don't know why this picture coming.
But that picture picture is in front of 243
Lexington
Avenue.
Like that truck is right there.
That picture is taken in front of 243 Lexington Avenue.
It's a truck on the outside.
It's 243 Lexington.
Speak Spanish.
Yeah, you can
speak
Spanish.
Okay.
Sí, esta troca la tenemos nosotros cargamos, después de que Ariel cargaba la el camioncito con la trailer.
Ajá.
Porque yo andaba con esta con mi papá, pero solo fue ese día que nosotros venimos, porque no me acuerdo qué era lo que estaban haciendo a una troca, creo que la tenían en el taller esa vez, pero solo ese día fue que nosotros venimos con mi papá con esa troca, pero fue un día martes, porque fue el día que él descansó.
He said that's okay. He said this truck he was that day, but that's the day that happened is on Tuesday.
What day is July 6th? Can you tell me what day is July 6th?
July 6th was a Saturday.
Saturday. Okay. And I asked that for two reasons. The C-Click fix that we got, the picture and the C-Click fix complaint was opened on July 6th at 6:55 a.m. The content says that this truck was there on June 22nd. So regardless of whether it happened on July 6th or June 22nd, you're clearly here in front of Lexington Avenue, 243 Lexington, on Saturday at 6:55 a.m.
Is 243 Lexington Avenue one of your clients?
We are 243.
243. Yeah, that's where they're at.
That's where you're at.
Okay. Just answer me this. Were you using a leaf blower between June 15th and today at 253 Lexington? 243.
Only have three properties in Lexington and Cambridge. And I train, and that's why I have my license permission. I train my guys, make sure not use any different kind of noise and blower.
So it's not about the noisy blower. Oh. It's about the fact that the leaf blower ordinance doesn't allow the use of leaf blowers between June 15th and September 15th.
Okay.
With the commission's permission, may I translate that to Spanish? El punto es que la ley no le permite usar un soplador de hojas en 15 de junio a septiembre. Hasta el 15 de septiembre. So ustedes no pueden estar usando los sopladores de hojas durante ese tiempo.
Incluso, ¿cómo se llama la casa que está aquí arriba, aquí la donde se sube la máquina a mano para la parte de arriba?
La 106 Apple.
Ah, esa. Ahí siempre se escuchan las casas con gente con sopladores grandes.
Bueno, yo tengo entendido que sí se puede usar la que es menos.
Let's do this.
Menos.
Mr. Okay, you're Freddy Lopez.
Uh-huh.
Grillalo, correct?
Yes.
And is your email lopezlandscape60@gmail.com?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So when you got your permit this year, you got an email with the leaf blower regulations in English, in Spanish, and in Portuguese. And in those three versions, it tells you that you cannot use leaf blowers outside of the dates that are allowed per the ordinance. So that's March 15th through June 15th, September 15th through December 31st. That's also on your permit. So it's not that you can use a silent blower, it's that you can't use any leaf blower outside of those dates. Okay.
I'm completely confused.
Yeah, I am happy to meet with you and talk to you in Spanish about all of this after the hearing if you want to wait.
Sure.
If you don't want to wait, I'm happy to give you a call tomorrow and have you come in and we can talk about this and I can show you.
I would like to wait because we're completely, now I completely confused me about this.
Okay.
How about the record?
2018, there was no history of any violation, and there was no old history either. There's no violation.
How long have you been operating in Cambridge?
About 5 years.
You guys ready to vote?
I am.
Okay. Quite frankly, I'm quite the same on this one. I would vote a violation. I would be inclined to have a fine held in abeyance, but considering that I sent this in three different languages, I get that he's currently confused, but there's no excuse. I mean, they know about the laws, but I know that you guys voted differently on the other one.
Yeah, I'm in the same thing, based on the fact that it's the first infraction, the find a violation for giving a warning.
I
but I do
that.
Believe that they should have understood based on the fact that they were notified in three languages.
Okay. So it'll be a violation and a warning, 2-1. I have to find held in abeyance as the dissent. But Mr. Lopez, if you stick around, it shouldn't be much longer. I'm happy to talk to you afterwards.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Just for the record, Chief Mahoney will be stepping out at this time.
EC Hathaway for operating without a permit and during a prohibited period.
It is 4-9, and with the history of EC Hathaway not showing up, I'd say we proceed with the hearing.
Okay.
Go ahead, Chief Boyer.
EC Hathaway is a non-permitted leaf blower company that has been working in the city of Cambridge as far as back as June 17, 2016. It's a report from C-Click-Fix as well. There's two of them, that on June 22nd at 10:12 a.m. and June 28th at 8:03 a.m., there's also a CAD report that confirms the June 28th company on Appleton Street and Brewster Street operating without a permit and during a prohibited period. The 2018 violation history is on December 12th. The board voted, found a violation for operating without a permit, two counts, also operating more than one leaf blower within 10,000 square feet of one another for a total fine of $900. Also in 2018, on September 10th, board found a violation of operating without a permit, operating during a prohibited period for a total fine of $600. There is an old history of fines that I think. Yeah.
With that said, I would vote a violation, two counts of no permits and two counts of prohibited period, each $300 fine for a total $1,200 fine.
Okay.
And Landscape Collaborative filed the waiver.
Yep. And this is basically they are admitting that they operated during a prohibited period on August 5th at 11:30. And Chief Boyer, why don't you tell us a little bit about their history?
Yes, I do believe, was it August 2nd? Sure.
August 5th
at 11:30. He was observed by our investigator,
Nick. The violation history of 2018 is December 12th. The board found a violation of operating a leaf blower less than 10,000 square feet apart and usage of a leaf blower above the allowable DBA level. Fined a total of $600. Also, Landscape Collaborative was placed on probation, through the end of 2018.
I would issue a violation and a $300 fine.
I concur.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Do you want to take that?
sir, what matter are you here for?
The
Hackney
the
driver?
The Hackney.
Okay.
Okay. 53.
This is a consideration of a Hackney renewal application. There's a letter from his attorney there. Deveza, Jean, can you please come up? Good afternoon.
Hey, how you doing?
Mr. Jean, can you answer a question for me? Have you had, you may sit down, thank you. Have you had any issues with your Hackney driver's license ever been suspended?
No. Malicious damage. When I see the case is open, but when was this?
Last year of July, I believe.
Okay.
2018.
And it's still making its way through?
Yes, according to him, yeah. Billy Simmons, with Summers, and they're still going back and forth.
Yeah. I don't see there's enough to hold them up from. That's what
okay. So, renewal approved?
Yes.
Okay, renewal approved.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye.
Robert Harris, on behalf of NOCA Provisions, has notified the License Commission that they've closed business on June 1st, 2019. They're requesting a prorated refund of their licensing fee.
I would deny pursuant to General Law Chapter 138, Section 23, informally paragraph 6 and 7, and also in accordance to our previous votes on similar matters.
And just for the record, the file's been closed and the license canceled.
Yes.
State Park, the one-day license for live music on their upper patio for Oktoberfest.
Granted.
Statement of reasons, matter heard August 21st, Loyal 9.
Approved.
Minutes for August 31st.
I don't have them here.
You do.
Oh, they're down here. The minutes aren't for August 31st, they're for August 21st.
Sorry.
So the agenda's incorrect. But it's the one for the 21st.
I'm sure.
Thank you. Mondays. Deanna Van Leer, National Kidney Foundation Entertainment License.
Granted police detail required.
Scott Kendall, Pemberton Farms, Malt with Entertainment.
I would vote to grant with the following provisions. alcohol cannot be donated. I know that they submitted something saying that it wasn't, but the application says otherwise. Event has to be in parking lot. Police detail required. And then the tasting amounts limited to 2 ounces for tasting and must be served in conjunction with food. How many ounces in a regular beer? Is it 12?
It depends.
12,
16.
12, right?
A regular can?
12.
And so based on that, I would limit the amount of tastings, the number of tastings associated with the admission price. And otherwise, to be sold. So if we say that a regular beer is about 12, so 24 samples.
24 ounces or samples?
24 ounces total.
Yes.
Okay. Right?
Yes.
2 ounces.
Yes.
Did I do the math correctly? No.
Yeah,
no, I didn't. I didn't.
Well,
so it would be 12. It would be 12 samples.
So that's 24 ounces.
Yeah. I was trying to do it in terms of samples. Sorry. All right. There it is.
Okay. Sinclair Malt and Wine for Oktoberfest in the Church Street parking lot.
Granted for October 13th only. The requested rain date's not okayed by the person. They okayed it for the 14th. And police detail required.
Krista Martin, one day hawker peddler, 12 vendors at 1 Oxford.
Granted.
Monica Harnato, malt and wine license at MIT Museum.
Granted with amended hours of 6:30 to 9:30 for MIT registration and police detail required.
Bill Manley, entertainment license at Winthrop Park, Thai cultural event.
Granted.
Paul Clark.
Police detail required on the Paul Clark one. Granted.
Kathy Zusi, Magazine Beach Partners, Malt and Wine with Entertainment, Riverside Boat Club.
Granted, police detail required, and there must be a limited number, too, of alcoholic drinks associated with the admission price. Otherwise, and thereafter, the alcohol must be sold. They also requested a fee waiver. They submitted this letter. They're basically saying that all the proceeds are for Magazine Beach. I believe this is the third year that they do this.
I think so.
Have they asked for this in the past?
Yeah.
And it's been granted?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you know, we've been allowed to do it.
Okay. So fee waiver approved.
Sung Chun Ryu, entertainment license, alcohol and entertainment license at MIT.
Granted, police detail required.
Azem Dervizovich, wine with entertainment license.
Granted.
Avi Shemtov, malt and wine license.
Granted with amended hours of 4 to 8 for permission letter.
Peter DeVito, malt with entertainment at Cambridge.
No, this is the one
that
was withdrawn by the applicant.
Then where did my
Because the event went to 2020.
Ruth Allen.
Granted police detail required and no alcohol sales prior to 8 a.m.
32. Are we sure that's canceled?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, they withdrew. They withdrew. They submitted information that they withdrew the event, or they would the event they're going to plan it for 2020.
Okay. Can you please stop talking because we can't hear?
Okay. So they're just going to refile whenever they have the new date.
Kristen Martineau, malt and wine.
Granted with the condition that the alcohol must be sold, the hours are 5 to 6 per Harvard sign-off, and must implement a process to identify the underage patron.
Corbin Swain, malt and wine.
Granted, alcohol must be sold and police detail required.
Alexander Maciel, alcohol with entertainment, St. Anthony's.
Granted, with amended start time of 7 p.m. per permission letter and police detail required.
Shelby Summerfield, entertainment license. Bless you.
Thank
Cambridge
you.
Common.
Granted with hours of 6 to 8 p.m. per parking permit.
Tracy Gordon, entertainment license, Winthrop Park.
Granted with amended hours of 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. to allow setup and breakdown in accordance to parking permit.
Scott Fraser, malt and wine with entertainment.
Granted with a limited number for alcoholic drinks per permission price, otherwise and thereafter the alcohol must be sold.
Jacob Crawford, Dance Complex.
Granted.
Debbie Bumpus, malt and wine with entertainment.
Granted.
Vicki Leggett, malt and wine.
Okay, this is on the agenda, kind of wonky. The application is actually for events on 9/19, 10/2, 10/17, and 11/6. The only rain date is the 9/26.
Ah.
I would vote to grant as applied.
Girl.
Chapman Wright, wine, malt and wine.
This is for the 27th. We have a meeting on the 24th. I defer. We don't have a permit for this. And quite frankly, this is on a park. I highly doubt that they're going to get a permit to have alcohol in the
one.
Park.
Oh,
this is
that one. I think.
Is the rain date the 27th, or is it?
No. Oh, yeah, the 27th is the rain date. Oh, you're right. So the event's on the 18th. I would deny them.
That was why it was placed on the agenda for denial, because three of us reached out to him on more than one occasion each,
okay,
and received no response, just to let him know that you can't have alcohol in the park.
Denied.
Review of the board's August 21st, 2019 decision as to Jetaway.
So this was Jetaway. We had found a violation for loading and unloading before 7 a.m. But the thing is that the location, this is a weird location. There's residential and commercial. Where they're loading and unloading is commercial. Therefore, under Chapter 111, Section 31A, they can load and unload at any time. So what I would do is I would change our vote, do no violation for the load and unload, and I would just affirm the violation of the failure to obtain the proper licensing. The one thing is I'm not quite sure why the commissioner I know that I voted a warning for the license because we were issuing $300 fines for the hours. I still think we would do a warning for the license because this was the case where we thought they had received a cease and desist and they hadn't. So I just want to affirm that we would still vote a violation warning on this one.
I concur.
Okay.
Chris Richard, Turn of Construction, Special Noise Variance.
I would vote to grant with the condition that they must obtain a Sunday work permit from the Cambridge Police Department, and also they must have a police detail on site.
Joseph Shannon, on behalf of Crown Castle, citywide quarterly application for special noise variance for emergency work purposes.
So Mr. Shannon submitted an email as to why they are submitting this. I'll let you read it and then I'll say my piece. Based on the email and the interactions that we have had in the past with this company in terms of their quote-unquote emergency repairs, I'm not sure that they've set the standard as to why they need a special noise variance. I think if it's an emergency, 8.16.09A would provide them the opportunity to fix it without a special noise variance. And in terms of them having to do work for purposes of their business, I don't think a special noise variance is appropriate. And if it is something that quote-unquote doesn't really fall into the emergency prior noise ordinance but could potentially be something that needs to be worked on after hours, they could apply for a special noise variance at that time and it'd be decided on a case-by-case basis.
I agree.
Okay. So it's denied.
Ralph Cadman, One Day Entertainment.
Granted with amended hours of 6 to 8 per MIT registration.
Nestor Sepulveda, Alcohol and Entertainment.
Granted with an amended start time of 11:30 a.m. per MIT registration. Police detail required and must implement the system to identify underage.
Caroline Colster, One Day Alcohol.
Granted police detail required.
Mary Ellen Carvello, Danby Park.
Granted no license fee, city event.
Catherine Sue, One Day Entertainment.
Granted.
Matt Gruber, One Day Alcohol and Entertainment.
Now we are in the zone where I don't have what you have.
That's the only one that's left.
I have Lauren Williams. I mean, Catherine Fu, we just granted.
Mm-hmm.
Which one are you reading now?
Matt Gruber.
I don't have Matt Gruber.
1585 Mass Ave.
I have Lauren Williams. For 1585 Mass Ave for a faculty reception.
I should say Mass.
Yeah, but it's the responsible person.
Okay.
On September 20th.
That's the
All right. So granted with amended hours of 4 to 6 p.m. per permission letter.
Second call. Terry Yummy.
Thank you. 4:30. This is the one, they had applied for a change in hours. They apparently did not notify the abutters as we had requested. I believe our staff has been trying to contact them. They got a new notice for today. So at this point, I would vote to deny the application.
And that's all I have.
Yes, that's it.